good morning, everyone. You know, there are, everyone's like noting their New Year's resolutions this morning, right? They don't do,
making lists.
That's right. They don't do New Year's resolutions in Havana, Cuba, though. In Cuba, they do New Year's revolutions.
Revolution that began with Castro, a fugitive, practically alone, landing with 82 followers to be nearly wiped out by government forces, ended with the flight of dictator Fulgencio Batista and the entry into Havana of rebel forces to be acclaimed by the city.
That's right. 50 years ago today, a young lawyer named Fidel Castro overthrew a dictator and sparked a half century's worth of conflict and speculation between Cuba and the United States. It was a sideshow of the Cold War. Now it is the main event. The revolution is still going on today. It's going to be celebrated in Santiago, Cuba, with a speech by Raul Castro before a plaza full of invited dignitaries. There are celebrations all over the nation and in Havana. Michael Voss is the BBC's correspondent in Havana, and he joins us this morning. Michael, thanks for being a part of the program, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too, John.
So what is this moment like for the people of Cuba? I mean, I suppose it is a celebratory moment, but there are also some sobering signs of the next 50 years, even visible on the streets there.
You're right. It's very mixed emotions and in some ways quite somber and quite sober considering it's New Year's Eve. The authorities here decided that this was not a time for lavish celebrations. There are no grandiose events planned. I mean, this is a country which, when it wants to, at the drop of a hat, can mobilize a million people, put them all in red shirts and have them waving banners and flags as they march through Revolution Square. They're not doing it this time. The official line is that these are very tough economic times. They're just still recovering from three devastating hurricanes and the global financial crisis. The economy here is in a mess. But I think it's also subdued by the fact that the man who led the revolution, Fidel Castro, hasn't been seen for 2.5 years, is not participating in that. And I think that's dampened the mood too.
Well, you know, long ago when this revolution was a part of the whole Cold War era, it seemed as though diplomacy, politics, a whole lot was much clearer for Cubans and definitely for Fidel. Listen to this sound from 1960 of Fidel Castro talking about his relationship with Russia. And let's talk for a minute about the maybe lack of clarity today.
Khrushchev is good friend, good Cuban friend, wonderful person. What do you want that we do? You leave us without petroleum. Khrushchev eat petroleum. You leave us without sugar. Khrushchev buy sugar. Your leaders speak about aggression to Cuba. Khrushchev speak about defending Cuba.
Khrushchev, a friend of Cuba, of course, the Soviet premier back in 1960. Who is a friend of Cuba today, Michael Voss?
They were very isolated for a long time. They've got probably their key friend is President Hugo Chavez from Venezuela, oil-rich country, deeply anti-American, sees Fidel Castro as his sort of father mentor figure, and who's trying to create an anti-American alliance, if you like, throughout Latin America. He's probably their biggest friend, and he's the one who has done this deal where Cuba is sending doctors to work in the slums, the poor parts of Venezuela, and in return they're getting oil. He's subsidizing the revolution. China is another key ally. When the Soviet Union collapsed, it sort of pulled the plug on Cuba. It was subsidizing it to the hilt. And almost overnight that ended. It plunged Cuba into a deep economic crisis. Everyone at the time said, that's it, it'll never survive, it's the end of communism. Fidel Castro regime will collapse. It didn't, but it was an incredible time of belt tightening. And they switched their allegiance then from Russia to China. And only in the last year or so have they started to build new fences, and probably it's coming from Moscow as much as Cuba, with the Russians. In the last month, we've had both the Chinese president, Hu Jintao, and the Russian president, Medvedev, here in Havana.
And is that really indicative, though, of the change in leadership from Fidel to Raul? And does Raul have those same kinds of relationship with China and Venezuela that his brother did?
Adora, he's not the internationalist, if you like, that his brother Fidel is. Raul Castro has almost never traveled abroad. He's been abroad once in his presidency a couple of weeks ago when he went to Venezuela and Latin America. I think what he is trying to do is build new allies and end Cuba's isolation. He's been mending fences. I mean, Fidel Castro fell out enormously with the Mexicans, for example, one of Cuba's closest neighbors and one of the only two countries that's recognized them throughout. Raul Castro's mended those fences. He's also been building alliances across Latin America. There was a summit, a Latin American summit, about ten days ago in Brazil, in which every single country from Latin America and the Caribbean met without the United States and Canada, and Cuba was part of that. Cuba has and the Europeans too. This is another interesting one. People are not, since Fidel Castro has taken this back seat, has retired, and Raul's come in, people are knocking on Cuba's door trying to build bridges. And the European Union is another one. It voted a few months ago to end all its sanctions against Cuba for imprisoning political prisoners. And Cuba and the European Union have now mended fences and are back on full diplomatic relations.
So, Michael Voss, it appears as though at the very least the table is set for improved relations in many places all over the world. I'm wondering what the biggest priority is, though, for Raul and the Cuban government as it so exists now, preparing the Cuban people for the death of Fidel and the change that will inevitably occur there. Or is it dealing with the fact that, the average salary in Cuba is barely $25 a month?
I think everyone here is prepared for the death of Fidel when it comes. I think that it's been going on so long now, that's no longer a shock. His priority, I think, is to ensure that the Communist Party and this one-party state survives when both Fidel and he have passed on, and a new generation is taking over. And he knows that to do that, he's got to get this economy right. Average salary is $20-$25 a month. Okay, you have, free healthcare and education. But there is an enormous pressure for change, for the economy to be turned around, much more than politically. So that's probably his absolute first priority. And the trouble is, he still thinks that they can do this by tweaking what is the most centrally controlled state-run economy in the world. There's no signs of privatization. There's no signs of private enterprise. People are still not allowed to be self-employed mm-hmm. or have small businesses. That's what they're waiting. The other one, and his other key priority, I suspect, is to try and get end the U.S. trade embargo. And I think there's a lot of expectation that things may change once President-elect Barack Obama takes over. And I think that a lot of people here are hoping that at least there will be an easing of tensions between the two countries and they can start talking to each other again.
About Fidel Castro, what is known about his health? Obviously, he hasn't been out in public in some time, but how well or not well is he doing?
It's a state secret. All we know, just occasionally, we see a photograph of him when some visiting politician or VIP comes through town, and even less occasionally, we see a sort of a video of the two of them. I would think this year we have seen in the last 12 months, we've seen no more than three or four photographs of him in the press.
Wow.
We really don't know what his condition is. We don't know where he is. We don't know what he's suffering. Everyone that's met him says he's still lucid, he's still talking, but he's looking very thin.
Well, Cuba, by that description, is this curious combination of Brazil and North Korea. I'm wondering if on the streets, either last night or today, there's any sort of celebratory sense of the future is brighter.
I think everyone's hoping the future's brighter, and they're partly looking to the United States on that one and hoping there. There is expectations that Raul Castro will, as a pragmatist, try and turn the economy around. There are patient people, but I think there's a feeling that it's going to take a long time here. Nobody can see the end in sight at the moment in terms of improvement of their daily life.
next year in Havana for Barack Obama is probably not in the cards, so although people can dream. Well, Michael Voss.
No, but he has said both sides have said they would be prepared to talk, so maybe somewhere on neutral ground. Who knows?
Who knows? Well, Michael Voss is a BBC Cuba correspondent celebrating New Year in Havana, where it is 50 years on from the day when a young lawyer named Fidel Castro overthrew a dictator and began a revolution that's still going on in Cuba. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.